This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Simply Save, the personal finance podcast from Money Control. I'm Kaizad Adajania. Well, we are inching towards the end of the calendar year 2019. And, you know, it's a good time for us to sort of take stock of how our money has done so far this year. And if you speak about mutual funds specifically, you must be wondering, how do you go about measuring whether your mutual fund has done good or bad this year? How much returns did it give? Are you on track for your goals? And so on and so forth. So I took this opportunity to speak to Mrin Agarwal. She is a financial planner. She's Bangalore based. She's also a regular contributor on moneycontrol.com. If you've been reading the personal finance stories on Money Control, and she's also a financial trainer. And I spoke to her to ask her, how do you evaluate and review your portfolio? Especially since the year is coming to an end, it's a good occasion for us to review our portfolio.
Hi, Mrin. Welcome to my podcast.
Thanks, Kaizad.
Let's start by, you know, talking about what's the best way to sort of keep a check on your portfolio, do your annual review, you know, because this is the time usually, you know, when people take stock of their portfolio. I think it's a good occasion to sort of see how your portfolio is doing, you know, vis-a-vis where you started and where you are right now. So, you know, at a broad level, when I'm looking at the portfolio, anybody's portfolio, I would see a number of instruments, right? I mean, I would see mutual funds, I would see equity investments, I would see debt funds, perhaps a little bit of gold. So, you know, what's the best way to start, where to start and how to start?
I think the first thing is to really do a portfolio check. So I think what you need to start off by doing is to really see at a portfolio level how much of your goals have been achieved. And honestly, in order to do that, the first thing you need to do is look at each one of your investments and evaluate as to how they have done and why have you invested there in the first place.
So goals, financial goals, as you're saying.
Yes, because what I normally find is that people don't tend to invest keeping financial goals in mind. And what really happens is that if you're choosing an investment based on recent performance, what happens is that if the investment doesn't do well, then one tends to crib about it a lot. But people really forget as to why they have invested this money in the first place. So that's the first thing you need to really ask yourself, that are you investing as per your financial goals? Or, you know, whatever investments you have you tagged them to a particular goal?
Okay, so you're saying that just looking at returns is not enough. You have to measure the true progress of your portfolio vis-a-vis what your goal was earlier and how far you are away from your goal yet.
That too, and if you don't have a goal in place, see, many a times people actually don't have an end use of the funds or a goal in place. So if that's the case, you need to figure out and tag your investment to a particular goal.
Okay. The other thing, Mrin, when we take a look at the portfolio, anybody's portfolio, you know, quite a few times we have noticed that it's skewed towards one particular investment. Either they would have a lot of equity funds, or, you know, they would have a lot of fixed deposits. Maybe, you know, they would have a lot of insurance policies and little of your investment avenues. So it gets a little bit risky, no? I mean, when you go along, just skewing your entire portfolio towards just one asset class.
Yes, and I think the risk allocation is another thing that one needs to evaluate. As you rightly said, that people do tend to skew their portfolio towards certain investments. So it's a good idea for you to actually see at an overall portfolio level, what is the sort of exposure that you have to various different asset classes like gold or real estate or investment in insurance policies and in mutual funds. And see where you stand. In all probability, I would say that for most investors, they would be like 70 to 80% invested in things like traditional investments. And they would have a very, very low allocation of 4 to 5% in financial instruments like mutual funds. So one of the advantages of doing this exercise is also for you to figure out if you can actually take more risk And as I said, in all probability, you can take more risk, but you're really not doing it. And that's where doing the risk allocation exercise would be helpful as well.
Okay. Moving on, you know, we talk a lot about costs. Okay, there was a time, Rin, I'm sure you will remember, we'd all remember about till, let's say, about 7, 8, 9 years ago, we were not really bothered about the costs because at that time, you know, high costs were a norm. But today, you know, costs have been going down across many financial products, especially mutual funds. And that's also, plus you have the NPS, which is of an ultra low cost product. You're going to be having a debt ETF coming up, which is going to take the costs down further. So there's a lot of sensitization happening for a low cost financial product portfolio. In your scheme of things, Min, is this something that we need to keep a check on when we're doing our overall portfolio review?
Yes, that's something that you certainly need to look at, you know. And again, you know, when I look at it, people are so concerned about the cost that they incur in the 4-5% that they allocate to mutual funds, but they tend to forget about the cost that they're incurring on other investments like insurance or on gold, right? So go and buy jewelry or you buy coins, you're paying 30% as overhead charges, and people just tend to conveniently forget about that. But then there's like so much of focus on costs in mutual funds. Even real estate, of course, there are a lot of costs. You're paying property tax, you're paying stamp duty, you're paying maintenance costs. You know, you're always paying costs all the time on real estate. But for some reason, people don't take that into account. So as a part of reviewing portfolios, you also need to see what is my overall portfolio cost. And honestly, if it's above 1.5%, then you really need to reassess your high cost investments, because at the end of the day, all these costs are just eating into your returns. And that is why investors with more traditional portfolios are actually making returns that don't even beat inflation.
Okay, so you've got to see costs not just in instruments that are more democratically available because of more transparency and more disclosures, but you also got to see costs, hidden costs in instruments where you're saying that the costs are not so easily visible but are very much out there. Like gold, for instance, you said real estate, you also said traditional insurance policies and so on and so forth. You know, one of the last things, Mirin, I wanted to ask you was about taxes and inflation. One thing I've noticed is that, for instance, when you're doing a portfolio review, many investors, financial advisors also at the time, they say that, you know, this is how you should rejig your portfolio. So sell this and buy that. But, you know, if you had just bought and let's say an equity mutual fund, let's say 6-7 months ago, you would incur a short-term capital gains tax. If you had, let's say, purchased a debt fund less than 3 years ago, and then now if you're, for whatever reason, you're trying to sell it, there is short-term capital gains tax also out there lurking somewhere. So when you are reviewing your portfolio, how important is it for you to like keep one eye on taxes?
Actually, it's really important, and it's really part of the overall returns that you're generating on the portfolio. And the overall returns on the portfolio, of course, need to be taken as post-tax returns, and one really needs to evaluate whether one is beating inflation. Also, a couple of other things which I find that investors don't tend to do. So first and foremost, you need to look at the individual returns relative to a benchmark and relative to the category average. Many a time I meet investors who tell me, oh, I've made negative returns on my mutual funds and it's really not worked for me. But they have really not compared their returns with the benchmark or even with the category average of what they have invested into.
Yeah, so it's relative.
Yes, it's relative performance and really not isolated absolute performance. The second thing is, what is the real post-tax return? So as you mentioned, everybody talks about, okay, I made this much return, but at the end of the day, what was the real return? Which means that if you account for inflation, what was your return? And also accounting for taxes, what was your return? Because finally, that is what you're going to have in your hand at the end of the day. Finally, it's also important to look at the overall portfolio return, because again, I see people feel very happy about those few stocks that do very well, or few, you know, you might have a property that might be self-occupied that may have appreciated. But again, the point is that how much is it contributing to your overall portfolio returns? So for example, if you have like 90% allocation to traditional investments, which are giving you 6 to 7%, and you have only 10% allocation to equities, which let's say is giving you 10% on the conservative side, this would mean that a weighted average return works out to about 6.5%. Now, how many people actually go and calculate overall portfolio return and even think about whether this is what I want for my portfolio, right? I do see that most people tend to believe that their portfolios are generating between 10 and 15%, but the reality is that it is actually generating only between 6.5 to 7-8% return.
So, and only a few schemes in that would have been generating as high as, let's say, 10-15%. But as you're saying, that the majority of the portfolio would be skewed towards a low yielding asset class, so which brings down the overall portfolio return.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, taking into account inflation and taking into account taxes, one needs to calculate at an individual level the relative performance, and then at an overall portfolio level, you need to be cognizant about what your portfolio is returning and the fact whether this is the sort of return that you want from your portfolio. Are you happy with it? Is it really going to help meet your financial goals? These are things that then you need to ask yourself and maybe look at readjusting your portfolio accordingly.
Okay, thanks so much for your insights. Milind, one last thing quickly I wanted to ask you. Obviously, I mean, you know, this beginning of a new year, so obviously this is a good time, as we said, that, you know, for us to sort of take a relook at our portfolios. But overall, throughout the year, how many times do you think we should do this exercise? Only once in a year, or you recommend like a biannual exercise or a quarterly exercise this for your clients?
On a quarterly basis, you can just look at the investment performance. But from an action perspective, I think it should be only once a year.
Whatever reason you're trying to sell it, there is short-term capital gains tax also out there lurking somewhere. So when you are reviewing your portfolio, how important is it for you to like keep one eye on taxes?
Actually, it's really important, and it's really part of the overall returns that you're generating on the portfolio. And the overall returns in the portfolio, of course, need to be taken as post-tax returns, and one really needs to evaluate whether one is beating inflation. Also, a couple of other things which I find that investors don't tend to do. So first and foremost, you need to look at the individual returns relative to a benchmark and relative to the category average. Many a time I meet investors who tell me, oh, I've made negative returns on my mutual funds and it's really not worked for me. But they have really not compared their returns with the benchmark or even with the category average of what they have invested into.
Yeah, so it's relative.
Yes, it's relative performance and really not isolated absolute performance. The second thing is, what is the real post-tax return? So, as you mentioned, everybody talks about, okay, I made this much return. But at the end of the day, what was the real return? Which means that if you account for inflation, what was your return? And also accounting for taxes, what was your return? Because finally, that is what you're going to have in your hand at the end of the day. Finally, it's also important to look at the overall portfolio return, because again, I see people feel very happy about those few stocks that do very well, or few, you know, you might have a property that might be self-occupied that may have appreciated. But again, the point is that how much is it contributing to your overall portfolio returns? So, for example, if you have like 90% allocation to traditional investments, which are giving you 6 to 7%, and you have only 10% allocation to equities, which let's say is giving you 10% on the conservative side, this would mean that a weighted average return works out to about 6.5%. Now, how many people actually go and calculate overall portfolio return and even think about whether this is what I want for my portfolio, right? I do see that most people tend to believe that their portfolios are generating between 10 and 15%, but the reality is that it is actually generating only between 6.5 to 7-8% return.
So, and only a few schemes in that would have been generating as high as, let's say, 10-15%. But as you're saying, that the majority of the portfolio would be skewed towards a low-yielding asset class, so which brings down the overall portfolio return.
Yes, that's right. So, So, you know, taking into account inflation and taking into account taxes, one needs to calculate at an individual level the relative performance, and then at an overall portfolio level, you need to be cognizant about what your portfolio is returning and the fact whether this is the sort of return that you want from your portfolio. Are you happy with it? Is it really going to help meet your financial goals? These are things that then you need to ask yourself and maybe look at readjusting your portfolio accordingly.
Okay. Thanks so much for your insights. Milind, one last thing quickly I wanted to ask you. Obviously, I mean, you know, this beginning of a new year. So obviously, this is a good time, as we said, that, you know, for us to sort of take a relook at the portfolios. But overall, throughout the year, how many times do you think we should do this exercise? Only once in a year, or you recommend like a biannual exercise or a quarterly exercise just for your clients?
On a quarterly basis, you can just look at the investment performance. But from an action perspective, I think it should be only once a year. I don't think it should be more than that.
So once in a year from an action point of view?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Milind, for your valuable insights and advice.
Thank you, Faizad. Nice being here.
A word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
So that's a wrap-up on this week's Simply Safe podcast. For more news, views and updates, visit moneycontrol.com. And if you have any queries on money and personal finances, do write in to us as mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com.